Here we go. It's hour five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Rangers baseball's coming up tonight. Rubber match against the White Sox. Looking to take 2 of 3, move 2 games over 500. Pregame at 6:30. Tomorrow they are off, and then Friday they're hosting the Mariners, an AL West showdown for the ages.
Coming
up Friday night. Fired up, man.
Bring them on.
It's go time, and training camp starting next week. It's really good.
Yes.
Okay. Here's Wolchuk with his proper round tripper.
All righty. Let's go ahead and do it. We'll get a Josh Jung update right after this.
You don't know how to play first base.
Scott? That's right.
It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Wash.
It's incredibly hard.
There's no crying in baseball!
You play ball like a girl!
Hey, if for those that don't know, life-changing, the Tommy John underwear.
Could tie it with one swing.
Season high, 5th straight series, and 7th in their last 8 to feature a rubber game for your Texas Rangers. That's 17 rubber matches, second most in all of Major League Baseball, as the Rangers have a chance to take 2 of 3 against the first place Chicago White Sox. It will be Tyler Alexander, the pride of South Lake Carroll, and our buddy. One of the best interviews we've ever had in the clubhouse, I would say. He's the opener for Cal Quantrill tonight, and the Rangers' 9th shutout yesterday. Congratulations to Kamar Rocker. He was brilliant at 10-0 shellacking. Can they continue that? And you had Brandon Nimmo, season-high 4 hits last night, all versus left-handed pitching. That was his first 4-hit game since 2025 at Washington, and his first career game with 4 hits off a lefty pitcher. So good news there for one, Brandon Nimmo. And when it comes to Josh Jung, no, he's not in the lineup. We heard that earlier, because if you were told, I don't know you were. Here was the KNC masterpiece as they were visiting with Skip Schumacher earlier in his weekly manager show.
Yeah, he woke up in a good spot. He said that, we feel like we've dodged a bullet, taking him out at the right time. You could kind of see it when he ran first to third a little bit and kind of got to third and stretching it out a little bit on the base. And I was going to put on a play there, and Rags told me, our third base coach, Ragsdale, told me, like, hey, you know, don't put anything on. We got something going on. And so I didn't know what exactly it was. And he's had calf issues before,
right.
But it feels like this might be minor, which is good news. I haven't seen him yet today. I've talked to him, and he feels like he's, we might have dodged a bullet. He's not in the lineup today, just because there's just no way I was going to put him in the lineup after taking him out for a calf injury. But I do feel like potentially he could be available. I just want to see him do some stuff with the training staff first.
So not in the lineup today. It will be Justin Foscue that will be batting second, playing second base. Langford again DHing, as it's another lefty that the Rangers are going to be playing against. So you do not have Jock Peterson in the lineup. Evan Carter also not in the lineup. So Wyatt will DH. He'll lead off. Foscue playing second, batting second. Berger at first, batting third. Nimmo at cleanup again. He's playing right field. Duran will be at third for Josh Jung. Cam Colley at center. Elias Diaz moving up in the order and catching for Tyler Alexander, which will be Cal Quantrill, your bulk guy. Alejandro Osuna, who's also coming off a really good game last night playing in the left field. And then Nicky Lopez at short as the Rangers look to try and win this series. But, hey, Josh did say, according to Sean McFarland, Kennedy Landry talked with the beat earlier today, Calf feels good. Night off, more precautionary. So if he doesn't play tonight, you get 2 days off. Then Friday.
So there is more than what just Skip said. Jung talked with Kennedy. I don't know.
I've
heard Skip say that 3 times now, and every time I've heard it, I feel less good because he's hedging.
That he's fine.
It feels like we could have dodged a bullet here, and I talked with Josh earlier, and he says he feels like it shouldn't be a big deal. But that, to me, is textbook deferring until somebody breaks the real bad news.
Okay. Well, I mean, Josh for now is saying he's okay, but I'm with you. I mean, I've got cautious optimism. I think Friday will
be. Does this team have a good track record?
No.
Of being honest and upfront? No. And they don't owe it to us.
No.
I'm just saying how we should receive this news.
Yeah.
And I hope the training staff performs better. I hope we can trust them that they're going to, guide this guy back to health skillfully and appropriately timed.
And I hope that for Josh's, I mean, he's played 91 out of 100 games this year. So, like, for the first time in his career, he really has been healthy. So that would suck if he does end up having to go on an IL stint. But fingers crossed, Friday, if he's not in the lineup against Seattle, then I think it's time for us to say, oh crap, here's the IL stint. This is going to be happening. Now we've got the best players at every position who could be available for a trade. We've got Ryan Jeffers at catcher for the Twins. Buzz for him, according to MLB.com, is a little medium, but there's a couple of catchers that could be available here at the deadline. Shea Langeliers, of course, being the one, and I mentioned his name yesterday, that I'd be pretty excited about if the Rangers could acquire him. That's going to cost a lot, and that's probably where Sebastian Wolcott's going to have to come in, because I don't think you've got enough to really acquire a player like that. But it sounds like the Dodgers would probably be a team that goes ahead and gets him. Ty France, first baseman, former division foe with Seattle. And the Padres, and I do just think San Diego and in Texas, they've got a good track record of making some deals together. Of course, A.J. Preller, who was here for a long, long time as the assistant GM for J.D., a solid relationship with both front offices. Luis Arraez, and that continues to be the hot name, the second baseman for the Giants. Everyone's linking to the Rangers. Now, he's got a career low 292 that he's coming off of last year, but this year's average is up to 323. And he's got 10 outs above average, which ranks second among all second basemen, fourth among all infielders in Major League Baseball this year. So Luis Arraez is still maybe the most realistic option if the Rangers were to add a bat. C.J. Abrams at shortstop for the Nats, which we've discussed. Eugenio Suarez at third base, which I don't think the Rangers would get into unless you do have something serious here with Josh Young. Outfield, Taylor Ward with the O's. Jake McCarthy with the Rockies, and the Rockies are open for business. You've got Spencer Steer with the Reds, and then Jorge Soler, the DH of the LA Angels. Those are among your top players at positions. Of course, Tarek Skubal would be the best pitcher on the market. What is Buster Olney hearing in regards to one Skubal? Well, that's the question. It might not even be Skubal who ends up being the best arm available. It sounds now like it's going to be Mason Miller of the Padres, and you're going to have a bidding war for Mason Miller's services, and a team that seems like they're going to get interested in this is one, the Boston Red Sox, who are now on a 15-game heater as they tie the 1946 franchise record winning streak, and now they're looking to go for their 16th in a row. They're about to start their second of today's doubleheader against the O's at home at Fenway. 16 in a row, and this is not good for the Rangers when it comes to the overall wild card standings, but a team that we thought might be sellers, Contreras, who said, I don't want to be traded. I've got a no-trade clause. I'm exercising that. But some bullpen pieces like Aroldis Chapman, now the Red Sox are buyers.
Another team that's going to be wanting to buy.
I understand wanting to go after Miller, but does the Red Sox make sense when they already have Chapman?
I think Chapman would then move into a setup role. But I think it might just be one of those things where you want to try and block the Yankees.
Yeah, it'll set it up so Miller has to deal with bases loaded all the time.
That's true. But really, the team that – and I guess they're in the division, so you probably don't have to worry about the Dodgers going and getting him. But could I think it's the fear of the Yankees.
For sure.
And that's where the Red Sox would say, like, okay, well, we'll dabble here. We'll try and make sure that our, you know, ALH rival doesn't get him. So you want to try and C-block the Yankees from him, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's been a big day for history, Wolchuk. You have the Red Sox matching their longest win streak ever, and I think Perez went deep for the Royals.
Yes, yes.
Breaking a George Brett record.
Yeah, I think it's 317th home run.
No Pintar on his bat.
That we know of, but that's pretty impressive. And then speaking of the Yankees, Max Fried is returning. He's going to start game two of their doubleheader against the Bucks later. And Ohtani, we got good news. He threw 30 pitches today, encouraging bullpen session. As he was banged up, they had to scratch him from his start the other day. But I guess that's good news for the Dodgers to try and get Ohtani back into the lineup.
When I was in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago, the push was they need to get Ohtani away from pitching as quickly as possible as he enters this final chapter of his career, because it threatens your three-peat. It threatens your dynasty if he is not in your lineup.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. Maybe they'd still be the favorites even without Ohtani. But I think it's an interesting discussion. Like, do you let your superstar do what he wants, or do you say this is in the best interest of the team?
Yeah, because he's trying to go for a Cy Young this year. I mean, he's been so damn good on the mound, but I agree. I mean, I could see his bat's been so valuable, and they have spent so much money because they've got it, especially if they were to trade for Skubal.
Yeah.
Like, do we have the luxury of not having to have Ohtani in our rotation? So if we can avoid that, then I'd like to have him DH for us 100%.
I mean, he's a hell of a weapon if you have an embarrassment of riches just to keep fresh.
I know.
Have him work bullpens, and if we get into a spot with injuries in the postseason. But yeah, you know, I'd be trying to project or talk to his agent, like, at what point can we kind of dial back his workload?
Yeah, and we do have an ESPN 30 for 30 that's going to be coming out soon about Ohtani and the gambling.
Oh.
The Ohtani betrayal.
Ipe.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel like this is going to be a true tell-all, or it's going to be curated?
It's going to be open for interpretation.
Well played. Yeah, absolutely. There you
go. Going to have subtitles.
All right. Pre-game coming up at 6:30. I have keys to victory and a couple questions for you about this baseball team coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 Through the Fan. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Rangers pregame coming up at 6:30. Rubber match against the White Sox. Chance to move two games over. Get you a day off tomorrow. And then host Seattle on Friday night. How about some keys to victory? As we're doing that, if you'd like to text in, or maybe you guys just in the studio want to be thinking about this, what's at the top of your list to be watching for at training camp starting next week? There's camp battles. There's young players. There's veteran players looking to still be great. Maybe players coming up towards the end of their rookie contracts that need to be great. What's number one? We'll get some of these texts in here in just a second. But keys to victory. It's going to be our guy Tyler Alexander opening for our guy Cal Quantrill, who's expected to handle the bulk innings against Anthony Kay and the White Sox. This is definitely the kind of game where working counts can pay off. Kay has stretches where the command disappears, and if you can make him just a little bit nervy, he'll run up the pitch counts. So make him throw strikes again is a key for this one. Avoid chasing those sliders off the plate. That was a key last night. Rangers did a hell of a job. 18 hits, 10 runs. Can you keep the conga line rolling?
Keep it going.
You know,
let's go.
Not stranding runners. I was rubbing my eyes like, what is this I see? You know, you get guys and runners in scoring position. Next thing you know, they're crossing home plate.
A lot of hits.
Can that be a trend for the final 55 games or so of the season? Keep using the whole field. You know, that's been a big key for their breakout games, as you see the spray charts and it's going all over the place. And take the extra base, even if you're risking strained calves for some of your base runners. I'd love to see the power bats keep it rolling tonight. You know, Langford and Berger have gone deep already in this series against another lefty. Could be big. And I'm holding out hope that we can get a Josh Jung pinch hit with maybe an immediate pinch runner. Yes, but the great sign.
That'd be great to see.
The injury there, the strained calf, I think that has Rangers fans quite nervous as they're showing up to the ballpark. Okay, if you're the NCAA, are you calling the SEC's bluff that if they don't get things their way, they could leave? I don't think they would really leave.
I think they would.
Really? And what would that look like to you?
Man, I don't have a plan, but the SEC thinks they're a lot more important than they really are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they've got... I do think this about the SEC is they do believe they're the best conference. I think the Big Ten gives them a run. I really do.
You know, so would they have their own champion? Are they talking about like doing their own entire thing? Or would you come back with the college football playoff committee? Are they looking to squeeze the NCAA all out,
man,
and building their own governing body?
I just wonder if you had a deal with the SEC, if you just played like – we're going to play a division championship. That's still like every week we watch games where it's Florida versus Georgia. It's LSU versus Alabama. It's, you know, their conference can do that.
Yeah.
They create massive television matchups.
Tennessee, Texas.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but if they weren't playing for the real national championship, don't you think that'd dry up and the Big Ten would just take over?
Money.
Big 12 might be back in the game. Yeah, I mean, there's big television money for sure.
Yeah.
As long as the eyeballs are there, you know, I would just hate to see the fans lose out.
They'll go steal other teams.
Yeah.
If they have to go do something, like they'll probably like take a Florida State or something like that.
Like the conference wars from 15 years ago, but with even bigger stakes.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll add three or four more teams to make it even more inviting, you know.
214 says, for the love of God, just stay healthy. Yeah, no doubt. When he, I mean, for the Cowboys training camp and the Rangers True. Tonight, no doubt about that. Thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup here. Master Control 75 and 635. Just went 4.5 flawless. Like it's nothing. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chiafalo. And, of course, Brian Broaddus. Yeah, off day tomorrow, so we'll have a full show to discuss these subjects with you. Till then, I'm Gavin Dawson. You're going home with the G-Pack Nation. At ease.